Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be a Jet.
Well, I tell you, the way the Jets have played recently, they need the good Lord on their side. So this could be a major move. Yeah.
I think that it's a job of immense demands, and I would hope that my successor has the constitution of an ox and the skin of a rhinoceros, really.
Because of Jesus, our Father hears us as though he were listening to his own dear Son, who is making constant intercession for us.
Seminarians on Vicarage in Indiana love Issues Etc.
Love to spend time with our listeners on Friday afternoons. This Friday, we've got Issues Etc. comment line. I hear a few things from the listeners on the Issues Etc. comment line and respond. Some mail from our Issues Etc. listeners. And then, let's see, a little bit later in the program, in hour two, there's a big story coming out of the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and it is one that probably will surprise no one. Apparently, there's a financial scandal having to do with millions of dollars, and Jan Crouch, who would be Paul Crouch, who is the, I think he's the president, or at least he's the star of the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Big money, millions of dollars, and I don't think anyone's going to be surprised. Bob Lico will join us to talk about that in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. Along with Sarah Pulliam Bailey, we'll talk about some recent Newsweek magazine coverage, a profile done of Archbishop and now Cardinal Timothy Dolan, and just see what the Newsweek is, whether or not it's still getting it wrong when it comes to religion coverage or whether things are improving there. And then at the very end of the program, in about an hour and a half, we're going to play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Four soundbites to play for you, our listeners. All you got to do is listen, and then you call, you email, send us a tweet, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. I understand that Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was rather happy to learn that he won last week for soundbite of the week.
Yes, I saw his Facebook post. He was elated, but he still doesn't quite understand
the game.
He doesn't quite understand the game because he thinks that he should get a shirt because he was the recipient of the soundbite. However, it goes to the listener with the best vote.
Right. The listener with the best vote gets the LPR bundle package, the I Have Issues t-shirt, the Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. The person who actually gave us the soundbite, they get nothing except bragging rights. And I understand that Pastor Brian Wolfmiller wants to protect his reputation over against that of President Harrison by reminding us. Did he call yesterday to remind you that he is a two-time recipient of Soundbite of the Year?
Yes.
That his soundbite has won twice for Soundbite of the Year?
Yes. And Harrison has not won Soundbite of the Year. That's big. We're talking, that's a major feat.
It's a major award.
That's why I think if President, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Harris is looking over his shoulder, I'd look at the young Brian Wolfmiller and waiting in the wings.
Definitely waiting in the wings, creeping up on him from behind. What's first in terms of email?
Well, let's start with Matt. He chimed in about an interview he did with Terry Mattingly on the Christian spirituality of U2's lead singer Bono.
Yeah.
And Terry Mattingly talked about how he interviewed Bono when he was a very young age, and they talked about how important his Christian faith was to him. And Matt had questioned whether that was true, and he followed up with this. He said, "Todd, I'm sure you're very busy, but you haven't responded to the YouTube video I sent to you of Bono saying, quote, 'Jesus, Jew, Muhammad, all true,' end quote." Matt continues, "From your position of silence and possible cognitive dissonance, I'm assuming you're just giving a Bono pass on his syncretist declaration. I assume it's because it would bum out the teenage rock and roll fantasy you have of him. I'll make sure this atrocity by Issues Etc. of kowtowing to Bono's syncretist statement Syncretist?
It's probably syncretistic.
I thought, yes, that's why I wasn't getting it right. Syncretistic statement gets out on various blog, concludes Matt.
All right. Well, I actually did watch the video. There's a concert video from 2006 or somewhere in that neighborhood where U2 did this. And I believe that Bono was seen to be wearing a Coexist bandana, which, I mean, is really neither here nor there. I think, and then he's heard to sing one of his songs, which is called Coexist. Now, the lyrics of the song itself do not say Jesus, Jew, Muslim, all true. The lyrics themselves say Jesus, Jew, Muslim, it's true, and goes on to talk about how all these religious traditions are sons of Abraham and bemoans what's happening among the sons of Abraham. Not in itself a syncretistic song, but certainly one that might flirt around the edges of syncretism. It's hard to tell what Bono actually believes there. Syncretism is just the belief. Well, syncretism is a practice of melding different religions outside the Christian faith together, or blurring their differences or erasing their differences, usually practiced in inter-religious worship services. Now, there are many Christians who mistakenly believe, many well-meaning Christians who mistakenly believe that Muslims, Jews, and Christians all worship the same God. And when the concert goes on, Bono actually does begin chanting off his lyrics, Jesus, Jew, Muslim, all true. That in itself is a syncretic statement. It is. If he is in fact saying, which it sounds like he is, that all of them are equally true, well, that's the height of syncretism. It is. Sad to say, many Christians make this mistake. They do. We had a district president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who made this mistake several years ago and held to it for, well, I think the better part of a year, before he finally retracted a statement to the effect that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. He kind of, I think he did retract it, if memory serves. And sad to say, many Christians mistakenly believe this. They believe it out of a false sense of goodwill toward other religions. They believe it because they simply think, well, they're all monotheisms. Therefore, if they're all monotheisms, they must all worship the same God. That's a non sequitur, but I can understand why Christians might make that mistake. I actually wrote an article about this years ago called Mere Monotheism, where I took apart the argument that Christians, Muslims, and Jews worship the same God, because they don't. Now, if Bono in fact believes this, he is like many Christians who mistakenly believe this. Does that necessarily rob him of the title Christian? No more than it would have robbed the title Christian from one of our district presidents who believed it for a time and practiced it for a time. He didn't cease to be a Christian. He may be an erring Christian. He may be a Christian whose teaching needs correction, but it doesn't necessarily rob him of the Christian, of the title Christian. Now, were Bono to say, I'm a Muslim, or I worship Allah, or I agree with the Jews in rejecting Jesus Christ as the Messiah, he would forfeit his Christianity. But as far as we can tell, he's like so many, all across denominational lines, who mistakenly believe, in spite of their Christian faith, I'm still going to give them the benefit of the doubt, in spite of their Christian faith, they mistakenly believe that Jews and Muslims and Christians worship the same God, which they don't. Oh, by the way, that article, if you want me to send it to you, anybody who wants to read it, I wrote this probably, well, it's got to be 10 years ago now, called Mere Monotheism, and I can send it to you. Just send me an email, todd@issuesetc.org, and I'll send you a copy of that article, Mere Monotheism. Do Christians, Jews, and Muslims worship the same God?
Jim writes, Todd, I listened to the program on condoms for 12-year-olds with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and agree on the following points. One, parents and guardians are responsible for the moral upbringing of their kids. Two, sex and childbearing are to be kept in marriage. Three, schools are not to pass out condoms to their students. However, one, Married couples having sex mainly for pleasure is their business and is between them and God and is not for you to worry about. 2. Psalm 127 says kids are gifts from God. They are no longer gifts if couples are shamed into having kids against their consciences. Gifts are gifts only when they are willingly offered and accepted. You obviously need constant reminding that marriage and children have nothing to do with personal salvation, writes Jim.
Well, I think this is probably the umpteenth time that Jim has written us to assert that somehow I keep saying that one's salvation is dependent upon being married and having children, which I have never said, not once, nor has any guest ever said, not once. What we have done is defended traditional marriage, defended marriage within the defended marriage as conceived of in Scripture, as instituted by God. We have defended the general norm of marriage. I say general norm of marriage, and that God has given the gift of sexuality within marriage primarily, but not exclusively, for procreation. That's what we have done. Now, if you read that as saying you can't be saved unless you're married and have children, you're misreading it. Now, I don't know how many times I can say that again and again and again, as often as the objection is raised by this listener, but I mean, I'll say it one more time. Your salvation does not in any way whatsoever depend upon whether or not you're married or single. It does not in any way whatsoever depend upon when you're married, whether you have children or not. In no way whatsoever. I'm trying to be clear. In absolutely no way I can categorically state once and for all, for the record, that I do not believe, nor have I ever said, that your salvation depends upon being married or having children. Is that clear enough? You think so? Craig shakes his head no. All right. Can't keep everybody happy. We'll be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
It's just a bit silly to say that every culture is equally good. Was the culture of Stalinism that put to death at least 20 million people the same as the culture of the Amish?
Everything that we believe as Lutherans rests solely in the death and resurrection of Christ. So let me talk to you about the resurrection of Christ, a historic, grounded fact. Then believing that God created the heavens and the earth, piece of cake.
A great deal of what has been put forward by the Episcopal Church lacks any semblance to theological reasoning. I used to like to say in the House of Bishops, choose this day. Is it going to be Saul of Tarsus or Saul Alinsky?
That's why we need to go outside of ourselves, to go to a place where Christ himself has said in his word that we have this absolution given to us from his office, his word.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a chance for you to listen and then vote for the Soundbite of the Week, just a little taste of what's ahead. You can listen at our website, issuesetc.org. And it's on the homepage, or you can also listen and vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. When you vote there, please include your city and state, or wait and vote live during Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-6943. One of the things that we like to do with our listeners, one of the things we like to have our listeners do for us is feedback. Now, you've been listening to a little of feedback here from our listeners' email. Another way, it's always on. 24/7. If you're up in the middle of the night, I guess one of our listeners was up in the middle of the night listening to Issues Etc., decided in the wee hours to send us a comment via the Issues Etc. comment line. All you've got to do is give us a call, 618-223-8382. That's the Issues Etc. comment line number. It'll pick up. You leave your comment in under 3 minutes, please, and then we'll respond as often as we can on Fridays or other times during the Issues Etc. week. Here are some thoughts from the comment line about cohabitation.
Hi, this is Jean, and I just had a conversation with a neighbor, a friend who wanted me to give my thumbs up to her cohabiting. And I had the opportunity to deliver the law, and she is a Catholic who does repent of her sinful behavior, but then goes back and commits the sin again and again. And I delivered the law to her, and she said, well, that's just your interpretation. And this is after a long time. You know, we had maybe a half-hour discussion or more. And she said, well, that's just your interpretation. And I'm wondering what you would say on how to respond to that comment. Well, that's just your interpretation after I had just delivered the law. Anything you can do to help would be great. Thank you much. Love Issues Etc.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, bear in mind that when someone, especially when you are confronting someone with their sin, for them to say, well, that's just your interpretation, that's a kind of a feeble attempt to dismiss your concern. What I'm trying to do is remind you that someone saying that may not be trying to make some kind of a sophisticated exegetical or interpretive argument. They might simply be trying to find some excuse in their mind not to listen to what you say. In essence, saying if you were to walk up to her and say, well, you know, you understand that living with someone before marriage, that sex before marriage is wrong, her response amounts to, well, that's your opinion. Now, it sounds like she knows full well that it isn't just your opinion. And I think the best response is to say, well, you know, it may just be my opinion, but it's an opinion shared by Holy Scripture. Now, you can discount my opinion. That's very easy to do. You can say, well, that's what so-and-so thinks. To each his own. But if she is a Christian, I'm sure she will find it much more difficult to discount the opinion of Scripture. And Scripture is quite clear that marriage is a gift of God and that sex is to be practiced within the bounds of marriage. Well, look here. She knows this. The fact that she would sit and talk with you for a half hour, that she would, as you say, be repentant of it and then return to that sin, shows that she's fully aware that she is arguing and acting not against your opinion, but against Scripture. And sometimes when you are delivering the law to someone, sometimes you simply have to leave them there. Especially when you get a response like that. Say, well, you know, there's not a lot more I can say, but... And you may be able to dismiss my opinion or my ideas or the things I've said to you here, but you're not going to be able to dismiss what God says. You can try, but you're not going to be able to. And you leave them there. And it's not because you don't care that to change their mind, but the fact of the matter is you may not be able to change their mind, but God's word can. What will produce repentance in this person's heart, mind, life? Only God's word. So I would say she's trying to say, change the subject from God's word to your word and just say, fine, don't believe what I say. But please, please don't discount what God's word says. You do that. All of us do that when we live in unrepentance, to our great peril.
Jan listens in Decatur, Georgia. She writes, I've been thinking much about subject concepts recently, the subject of confession versus repentance. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus not only confesses, but offers restitution, which is more indicative of repentance. Have we replaced repentance in favor of confession and absolution? I ask this because at the inauguration of Jesus' ministry in Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in Georgia, Jan.
No, we have not replaced repentance with confession. Confession is, you talk about restitution being a sure sign of repentance. I don't agree with that. Not in each and every case. There are some things for which one can make restitution and should. In Zacchaeus' case, it's cheating his neighbor and overcharging. And he could make restitution. It's just money, right? There are things that we do for which we cannot make restitution. That's the whole point of making confession of our sins. There are things that we have done that we can't take back. We can't make right. Now, if what you're saying is that some confession is just words, but repentance is going back and making it right, I think you have a very dangerous view of repentance. If repentance means I have to go back and make it right, Zacchaeus style, before I'm forgiven, then, well, I'll never be forgiven. Well, let me just ask you this. Can you go back and make everything right that you've done? Can you make restitution for what you've done? And you say, well, of course not, but I should want to make restitution. Yeah, but there's a big difference between wanting to and doing it, right? A lot of people want to make it right. What do you do with the sins that you can't make right? If forgiveness depends on you being able to right the wrong, you'll never be forgiven. Which is why God's forgiveness depends not on our ability to right the wrong or even to confess it properly. Our forgiveness rests entirely upon Christ's ability to have never done wrong, to have never done anything that needed restitution. And it's his perfect obedience that substitutes for our complete disobedience and is the sole basis for our forgiveness. Not our ability to go back and right the wrongs. So don't drive a wedge between confession and repentance. Confession is not mere words. Confession is the voice of faith when it's heard the law that says, this is what you have done, this is what you haven't done. Confession is agreeing with God's word. Now, when restitution can be made, if restitution can be made, then it ought to be. But, you know, our real problem aren't the wrongs that we can right. Our real problem are the wrongs that we can't. If you could right all your wrongs, you wouldn't need Jesus, would you? What's next?
This comes from Mary. She listens in Southern Illinois. She's responding to, it's a question coming off your interview earlier this week with Pastor Ed Engelbrecht of Concordia Publishing House on apparent contradictions in the Bible on the Holy Family's travels. And Mary says, how did the apostles learn what they wrote about Jesus' infancy? Did Jesus tell them, or did the Holy Ghost? Writes Mary.
Well, one of the gospel writers, Luke, most likely finds out his details of the nativity, of Jesus' infancy, from a primary source, Jesus' mother. At least that's what church tradition tells us, is that Luke is basing his gospel, especially the early part, on the recollections of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So that's where he gets the information. Matthew's a little bit trickier because Matthew, of course, as far as we know, didn't go back and interview the primary focus of his nativity story, which would have been Joseph. It's assumed that Joseph is dead by the time Jesus' public ministry begins. So he may well have gathered his information also from Mary. I think that's a very likely source, because Mary's known to be in and around the ministry of Jesus, and Jesus may have told them some of these things. They may have also learned them by sheer inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That is, these things might have been divinely revealed to them without any human medium to tell them the story. But I think it's probably very likely that in the case of Luke and Matthew, they get their infancy stories from a primary source. More likely, Mary, the mother of Jesus, maybe in the case of John. John, of course, is a blood relative to Jesus, so he could have gotten some of those stories through his mom, which would have been the sister of Mary. Family stories in a lot of ways. And what they didn't know, what they couldn't pull from their primary sources, the Holy Spirit supplies by divine inspiration, really all of it supplied by divine inspiration. We'll be right back. For assistance, if this all confuses you, so tell me why. Heard from you. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. steadfastlutherans.org.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
You've probably heard about Barack Obama's mandates through the Health and Human Services. It forces Americans and institutions to pay for abortifacients through Obamacare, even if it violates a person's religious beliefs. The timing is interesting, considering next week the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on the constitutionality of Obamacare, which is also being forced on you. I'll be doing special programming to give you up-to-the-minute information on how those oral arguments are going. It'll include a summary of what transpired the day before. The court's decision will hugely impact your life and the lives of all Christians who don't want to be part of a system that doesn't protect innocent human life from womb to tomb. Make sure you're informed and tune in each day next week.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Well, did you get my message?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, the 23rd of March. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week. In hour two of the program, Sarah Pulliam-Bailey will join us. We'll talk about Newsweek magazine coverage of Archbishop Timothy Dolan. And then Bob Leacle will be with us. There's a breaking financial scandal at the Trinity Broadcasting Network. That's the largest Christian network in the world, and it's the one that features Paul and Jan Crouch on their gilded couches, usually asking for your money. Apparently, they've been there's been a little shim sham with the money at Trinity Broadcasting Network. We'll see what Bob Leacle has to say. We'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour.
That happens to be one of Todd Wilkins' favorite terms, shim sham.
It's a shim sham.
We talk about the Wilkins shim sham around here, don't we, Craig?
It applies in just about any situation, doesn't it? You can apply it to any situation that where something's going on that just shouldn't be happening. The shim sham.
And don't forget the other one. Two birds, one stone.
That's my solution for, I always am looking for two birds and one stone solutions.
Especially when it comes to politics. You're always looking for the two birds, one stone piece of legislation.
It's remarkable how many pairs of problems can be solved with just one usually draconian and totalitarian move, which is why I'm not in politics. I can barely vote, as my colleagues here know at Lutheran Public Radio. I can barely vote.
Let's not even tell that story
because I'd be so embarrassed to know that my vote probably ended up in a shredder. I think what they did was they took it, instead of putting it in the little thing, they just dropped it in the shredder. And I don't even know if it would have counted otherwise. And by the way, left my voting card at the voting place. So
did you go back and get it?
I forgot to go back. I was going to go back and get it that night. And I realized about 6:45, I think they closed at 7. And my wife said, "What are you worried about? When are you going to need that again?" I'm like, "Well, I'm obviously such an inept citizen. So I'll get another one."
You will need that in November.
Yeah, I will. I better learn how to vote before November. Not that it's going to matter, really. I mean, tell you the truth. Not that it's going to matter much.
Well, instead of being hard on yourself, Craig and I would like to commend you. First of all, people who listen to the show regularly the last couple of years know that Wilkin never takes his trash out. Wilkin will take the trash bag from his trash can, put it back at the back door, which is right next to my office, so I get to smell the trash until Craig or myself take the trash out. But we noticed that this past week you've been taking your trash out to the dumpster. So good job. Job well done.
I even did it in the rain yesterday.
Yeah. What I'd like to add to that is not only have we noticed the trash, but we've also noticed that yesterday, miraculously, the bathroom went from what it normally looks like.
A gas station bathroom.
To it was clean. It was, you spent 15, 20, an hour and a half in there, I think. I don't know. And
on my hands and knees, too.
You came out, and it smelled like a bathroom should smell. It looked miraculous in there. But, yeah, but thank you.
I just went in, and I finally thought, you know what I knew? I knew that Charles and Jen Lehman were coming today. I didn't get a chance to see them this morning, but I guess they stopped by from Accident, Maryland. And they got a little baby. I've seen the picture of her sitting here in the chair, and I thought to myself, that's no place no human being should have to put up with that in the first place. We're such slobs here anyway. And then I thought, there's a little baby coming. Pastor Lehman's wife is going to be here if she needs to use the bathroom, for heaven's sakes. We've embarrassed ourselves so many times when lady folk come by that have to look at this bathroom. I just thought the least I could do was clean up a little bit.
So. I've never been embarrassed by the bathroom. I'm just it's three guys in a bathroom. You know, I mean, what do you expect?
This entire place, we don't see it anymore. That's the problem. We don't see
this is true.
The clutter. We don't see the mess. We don't see the absolute pigsty where we work anymore. It's just we're blind to it. We're hoarders. They should do a reality show about this office. And they would show these pictures, you know, the stark black and white, high contrast pictures of like this pile of books here. And then they'll show a picture of me like huddled in the corner, hoarding books. And then Craig with his pile out there and you with your pile. And when I say pile, folks, don't think about a nicely stacked pile of papers on a desk or on a table. Think about a pile of just stuff shoved into a corner, shoveled into a corner. And that's probably the picture you get here.
Here's an email from Scott, one of our favorite bloggers of Standing Firm. He was talking about how he bumped into Adrian Dore of the Lutheran Witness magazine and Pam Nielsen of Witness Mercy Life Together. And he titled this Man Cave. He said, "We had a rollicking good conversation that eventually drifted to issues, etc., in the current state of the Lutheran Public Radio studio. Adrian and Pam both gave it the designation of Man Cave. Normally, I might bristle at someone picking on my friends, but in this case, I had to regretfully agree with them. Well, maybe it was more like gleefully, but I digress. They seemed to think that the level of cleanliness at LPR left something to be desired. With on-air talk of smelly trash, Jeff's sticky lunch residue on Todd's desktop, stacks and stacks of assorted stuff, and the current position of the toilet seat, I guess Man Cave is an appropriate moniker. I've never been able to get over one recurrent thought that I've had in relation to the Man Cave. Todd reported that some listener had graciously sent you ice cube trays, the residents of the Man Cave apparently being unable to secure such trays on their own. Putting the best construction on this, perhaps the residents of the cave lacked motivation to secure their own trays because it was getting too close to the time of hibernation, they becoming lethargic in preparation for their long winter's nap. Anyway, Todd mentioned that the columns of water might not produce such great ice cubes due to the water's poor taste."
Might not.
Scott concludes, "Somehow the idea of water, be it Collinsville bottled or water from the White House tap, contained in an LPR ice cube tray generates a rather unholy vision. I just can't see how any water is going to make a tasty cube. With various odors of questionable origin wafting through the air and a possible outbreak of some exotic strain of bacterial infestation within the freezer, when I drop by the studio, thanks, but I'll take my Diet Coke warm. Christ-centered, cross-focus, but go light on the cubes," concludes Scott.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. Adrian's never been over here, has she? I don't think she's ever darkened the door of the LPR studios.
Actually, several times, but she makes sure she comes in the morning when you're not here. Right, Craig? She visits Craig and I all the time.
Oh, so
all the time.
Okay.
We have coffee, donuts,
you have your
crumpets, tea. You know, it depends which day of the week it is.
I know Pam's been over here because we have photographic evidence of the same.
Yeah, no, she'll show up. She'll bring crudas. She loves Cruda Bakery. So she'll show up with crudas, and I make the coffee. And, you know, we have our powwow. And then by quarter to 11, well, maybe sometimes 11:15, then they leave. Because then by 11:30, quarter to 12, then you show up. So
okay, so
but yeah.
They hit the high road before I show up. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know if I – see, a man cave to me implies that it's been carefully put together to suit a man's wishes and desires with sports memorabilia, and that's too organized of a picture for what we've got going on here. So good thing that I cleaned the bathroom, because if we have regular lady visitors here, we probably should keep the bathroom a little cleaner. It's a good thing.
Good job. Job well done.
Yes.
Herr Wilkin.
What was his other point there?
Something about ice cubes.
Yeah, I wouldn't. If you've seen the inside of the LPR microwave, it's okay. At home, my wife kids me because the microwave has to be clean. Okay.
Wait a second. We've been told that you're like spotless clean at home.
Mostly, yes, that's true. Especially the kitchen and the LPR microwave.
I hate to interrupt you. Does Maria take the trash out too? Like
no.
It used to be here?
No, I take the trash.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just checking.
Well, actually, we both do. She takes it as far as the door, and then I it's my responsibility, if it's sitting there, it's my responsibility to get it into the can and then out onto the curb.
What about the dog? Isn't that a problem? If you've got a trash can sitting open, trash bag sitting open?
Well, we don't leave it sitting open. I mean, it never stays in the laundry room for more than just a few minutes before I do my husbandly duty. And, well, we got a little problem with the dog eating out of the boys' trash can. There's a lot of stuff back in the teenager's trash can. Edible things that the dog just can't stay away from. But for the most part, it's not a problem. I mean, if we're going to talk about our home lives, at some point we're going to have to talk about Craig. After how long have you lived in that house in Troy? 4 years? Give or take 4 years? Just now putting up toilet paper rolls in his bathroom. Just now,
that's man cave.
Just now getting around to, say, putting a curtain on the shower. He just close the bathroom door. That's good enough. In preparations for making that little nest that he's going to be making soon with his beloved. What was it, just this year you put covers over the windows instead of just sheets pinned to the wall or whatever it was you had? He's not responding to me. Why is he not responding to me? He put up curtains.
What do you think I am?
For the first time, he actually put a sheet on the bed.
No.
It was just him on the mattress with newspapers, loose newspapers every night.
What do you think? How do you think I live? No.
I don't know. I've never been to your house.
No. Years ago, my mother made me curtains. Curtains have been up for a while, and it was one toilet roll that I didn't have up, and yeah, it finally got up because I got sick and tired of looking at that box.
You take the newspapers every week. Jeff brings in the newspapers. He goes through them. You take the stack of newspapers.
Those are for Frankie.
That's what you tell us, but I think it's actually your bedding.
No. He recycles them. Those are for Frankie.
I don't know, man.
Bedding. I thought it was his pet gerbil all these years. That's what he's using the newspaper for.
Hey, is life going to change for Craig? Is life going to change for Craig?
Yes, it will.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it will.
Let's
accomplish something. Let's spend an entire segment with inane banter. Any listener wants to bring me lunch, which I haven't had, 1600 Golfview Drive, Collinsville, Illinois. I'm starving here.
We offered him fried fish, and he turned up his nose at it. So now he begs. We'll be right back.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, "The Blind Men and the Elephant," and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, March the 23rd. In just a few minutes, we'll pluck Issues Etc. blog of the week. By the way, we had some server trouble earlier in the hour. The website was down until just a few minutes ago, and that means most of you probably weren't able, except you, if you access it through iTunes, able to listen to the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week candidates. You can go to our website, issuesetc.org, right there on the homepage. Listen to all four candidates and vote there as well at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Wait about an, half hour, 45 minutes. Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or send us your vote early via email, talkback@issuesetc.org. In preparation for the last half hour, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week, the website is up again, and that means you can listen and you can vote.
I mentioned before the break about my hunger pains, and just got an email from a listener named Carol Schwartz, listening in Edwardsville, Illinois. She said, "What happened to the lemon cake I sent with your father this morning?" This is before you got in. My dad came by and dropped the books off for a mailing for patrons in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Did he bring the lemon cake, or did that mysteriously not make it in the
door? He did. Had I not eaten that cake this morning, I'd be passed out right now.
Oh, really? So you ate the lemon cake?
I ate the lemon cake. So thank you, Mother. The cake was exceptional.
Man, a lot happens here before I get here in the morning.
Now, don't feel too bad for Jeffy. I've got a day-old peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, the good peanut butter, the kind that I make with two pieces of brown berry bread, all right, and Welch's grape jelly in the fridge. And I said, "Jeff, if you're hungry..."
Is that your emergency sandwich?
No. That was the one that my mom made me yesterday, because I was... down and out, and Mom made me a sandwich for lunch yesterday, but I didn't. I ended up not eating it. But I offered it to Jeff, and what do I get? No thanks. Oh, and by the way, today when Jeff's dad was here, he dropped off the books, and a piece of cake was on top. I go, "Oh, isn't that nice?" I go, I'm thinking, "Oh, Carol sent me a piece." By the way, Carol, thanks for the help on the mailing. It looks awesome. We'll get it out ASAP. Thank you very much. But I said, "Oh, look at this, a nice piece of cake." Carol, Mr. Schwartz goes, "No, that's for Jeff." He goes, "That's how well you rate around the Schwartz household." That's what he said to me about and Jeff didn't even want to split the cake with me. Can you believe that?
Well, you know what occurs to me, Jeff? I brought my lunch today, and then we ended up ordering from the Red Bar, and because it's meeting day, and I'm never going to pass up fried fish, and I've got a perfectly good, I think it's a chicken breast, and then some cabbage and Gruyere soup in here that my wife made for me last night.
Both of you, I appreciate the generous offers, but they all sound a little too healthy for my appetite. So thank you very much, though.
All right. Suit yourself. What's next?
Okay, this comes from Bill. He says, "We believe in the saving grace of the cross 100%. How does this fit with the belief in degrees of glory in heaven? Even the word degrees has work connotations attached. If we're in heaven living in the glory of God, how can there possibly be levels? Even if there is, we won't realize it because there will be no envy. Evangelicals get on this all the time, being rewarded, and I have a real hard time with it. Clarification, please. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Bill."
There is a really dangerous misunderstanding that has been propagated in about the last 10 years, and he's just picking up on a kind of a long tradition of misreading the scripture by Rick Warren about rewards in heaven, where your rewards are directly proportional to your works. And so Jesus gets you into heaven, but your status in heaven from that point on depends entirely upon you and what you do in this life. It's kind of a purgatory front-loaded into the Christian life. The Roman Catholic teaching of purgatory front-loaded into the Christian life. He doesn't teach purgatory, but he teaches basically, now you're in purgatory. Now, it's a very kind of a Mormon way of looking at things. Jesus saves you, but your status in heaven, in the eternal kingdom, depends upon what you do here. And he blatantly teaches it contrary to Scripture. However, we should say that there is a biblical teaching of rewards in heaven. I already mentioned the Mere Monotheism article. I've got a little collection of quotations that I put together some years ago called, I think, Rewards in Heaven According to Lutheran Confessions, and I could send it to you if you like, todd@issuesetc.org. Be happy to send it out to you, where it contrasts Warren's teachings of rewards in heaven with the biblical teaching of rewards in heaven. Suffice it to say, does the Bible teach there'll be degrees of glory? Absolutely. Does it teach that these degrees of glory are dependent upon the quality or the quantity of your works in this life? No. What God rewards here and in eternity, and yes, there are varying degrees of that reward in eternity according to God's judgment, not according to ours. What he rewards is faith in Christ. What he rewards is the good works and the good life and the life of righteous deeds that Christ lived, not the one that you live. So this is where Warren gets it wrong. He views faith as a small thing and your life of works is a big thing. That faith just gets you in the door, but your life of works determines where and how you live in eternity after that. When in fact what Scripture teaches is what God rewards first and always and only is faith in Christ. And since faith cannot be seen by you or anyone else except God, then we leave it to God alone to determine what the reward will be in eternity. Now, the one thing that is made quite clear in Scripture, and that is if you're doing your good deeds in order to avoid punishment or to earn reward, it's not a good deed. You're doing it for all the wrong reasons. We live in faith toward Christ and in love toward our neighbor, and that love does not view our neighbor. This is the next article I'm writing in the Issues Etc. journal. Love, Christian love, does not view the neighbor as a means to an end. Rick Warren encourages those who read his books to view their neighbors as a means to an end. My neighbor is just a means for me to earn rewards with God. And that's not love for the neighbor. That's using your neighbor. That's love for yourself. We serve our neighbor because he needs it, not because we're seeking some sort of reward. So deeds that are done in view of reward or to avoid punishment are not good deeds. Only those things that are done in faith in Christ, totally depending upon his good works, are deemed as good deeds worthy of reward.